Good morning, Your Honors. May the police court, my name is Jixian Li, and I represent the petitioner. The BIA in its decision states, we agree with the immigration judge's decision that incidents experienced by petitioner and her immediate family, even when considered cumulatively, do not constitute past persecution. The BIA then cited page 7 and page 8 of the IJ's decision. I have the page 7 and page 8 of IJ's decision in my hand. I read both pages line by line, word by word, again and again. I just could not tell where did the IJ consider the cumulative effects of all the incidents that are experienced by petitioner and her immediate relative. As a matter of fact, the immigrant judge found no past persecution because of a lack of credibility for incidents. This is the IJ's decision. It says, respondent, that means petitioner here, respondent assigned a statement about her daughter being kept from classes in August 2014 is not to be believed. So therefore, the IJ did not consider the fact that the petitioner's daughter being kept from school in determining whether or not that event considered along with other factors would rise to a level of persecution. But IJ simply said there's no past persecution here because petitioner is not to be believed.
So the board may have been wrong in its characterization of what the IJ said, but don't we still have a conclusion by the board? The board is expressing its own opinion that the incidents experienced by the respondent, even when considered cumulatively, do not constitute past persecution. And so isn't that a factual determination by the board that we have to review for substantial evidence?
Well, what exactly the board says, Your Honor, what the board says is we agree with the IJ's conclusion. So the board did not reach the conclusion.
If you say, I agree with someone else's conclusion that, whatever. There's really two propositions embedded in that statement. One is, the other person reached this conclusion. And two is, I am reaching this conclusion. And in this context, the first part of that might have been wrong. I take your point about the IJ not having really quite said that. But I have trouble reading the sentence as anything other than like the board is expressing its view of this proposition that the harm doesn't constitute past persecution.
Yeah, and then we look at the BIA's decision itself, and the reason why the BIA did not believe there's a past persecution here, the BIA only said that there's no said two things. One, that they experienced there's no, the petitioner did not experience any family planning procedure, family planning procedure. And also secondly, that there's a economical harm that she experienced is insufficient to rise to the level of.
Let me stop you just a minute. Is there any part of her persecution that the board did not address?
Yes, Your Honor.
What?
For example, that the physical harm petitioner suffered when she resisting the abortion and she
where,
was...
Where? I mean, it seems to me, if I read the paragraph on page, it's at the record AR-43, and I look at the AR-96, and I look at all the things that the BIA looked at, that they're looking at all of the evidence that you say they didn't look at. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what you say they didn't look at that they should have, that we therefore should then say there's not substantial evidence to sustain what you did.
Okay. Yeah, first, as I just mentioned, that the petitioner testified that she was slapped so hard that the corner of her mouth was bleeding.
Mr. Lee, on that piece, so the board cites the transcript, and then the transcript, I think it AR-135, the pages that they cite, Ms. Gong says, after I gave birth to my second child, the family planning office fined me. I was forced to have an IUD insertion. While I was pregnant with my third child, I was caught by the family planning office, and they requested having an abortion, and I was also beaten up. Does that suggest, then, that the agency did consider the severe slap?
Yeah, the BIA cited that portion of the administrative record when the BIA was discussing the IJS conclusion. If we look at the IJS decision, the IJS did not cite to that transcript. So therefore, if we read the...
Okay, so is, I guess, circling back to Judge Miller's question, if the board, we're reviewing the board's decision, if the board considers the evidence and the IJ, it's not clear whether the IJ did, why is that a basis to grant the petition?
And also the transcript that Your Honor just referred to did not say anything about the denial of the social benefits to petitioner's daughter and the denial of educational opportunity. And also that portion of the transcript did not say anything about the repeated and specific threats made against petitioner after she fled the country. And also the IUD insertion and the health impact of IUD, that was not considered either.
So, well, I guess in terms of understanding, I understand your claim to be one of the cumulative consideration. And so it may not be that the agency considered every action, but considered some, if it considered the most important ones. I think you highlight the assault on the petitioner at the clinic as being probably the most probative one. If it did consider that, what are we left with if it doesn't consider these remaining pieces? Can we take it to be saying that it doesn't cumulatively amount to past persecution?
Well, the standard of review is that a given set of undisputed facts to see whether that rises to the level of past persecution. Now we are of two different sets of undisputed facts. One set is the what we envisioned about BIA in its decision, which excluded the IUD insertion and then the denial of the educational opportunity for the child. So and the BIA actually did not make a decision based on that set of the facts that is in record.
But it cites to the part of the transcript where all of that is testified to. Setting aside the educational opportunities, it testified to the IUD, the fine, and the being beaten up.
Yeah, actually,
if we get past persecution, and we go to future persecution, did Gong offer any evidence at all that she would be subject to sterilization if she returned to China?
Well, yes, Your Honor.
What?
And she...
I didn't find any.
No, she testified, actually, the family planning officials went to to her house and to talk to her parents-in-law and trying to pressure her to pressure her from returning to China for tube ligation. And this, I have the...
That's the best evidence you have of that?
Yes, sir. And then...
Okay. You've answered my question then.
Yep. And I see we've used up just about all your time, but we'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, Joanna Watson, again, on behalf of the government. Looking at substantial evidence supports the agency's determination that the harm that petitioner experienced did not rise to the level of persecution. While it's far from ideal what happened, after the birth of her second child, she was required to have an IUD inserted, but there's no indication that it was forcibly done. Like, I believe Lee is one of the cases that talks about rising to level of past persecution, where two nurses held the woman down and forcefully examined her to see if she was pregnant, things like that. In this case,
pardon me. I'm trying to figure out the difference between being required to have it done with the understanding that there's maybe an implicit threat of it being forced to do and having it being forced upon you.
She uses different terminology. You'll see throughout, you know, saying that she was required. None of them suggest that it was forcefully done. And then after the birth of her second child, while she was fined, she conceded before the board that that fine was 58,000 RMB, didn't rise to the level of persecution. You know, they were able to pay the fine. They started businesses. So that's after the birth of the second child. And then with the third child, while, you know, it's far from ideal that she was taken in by family planning and she, you know, refused to sign off on aborting her child. And during that incident, you know, she was slapped and not ideal circumstances, but they let her go and she was able to, you know, she went into hiding to Switzerland for a little bit and then into hiding and made it to the United States and was able to birth a healthy child. And all these things adding up together don't come to rise to the level of past persecution. And ultimately, there's no well-founded fear here. Because, I mean, if you have past persecution, there's a presumption, but then the government can. But here we have no past persecution. But in 2016, these policies changed, and they allow for 2 and sometimes 3 children. And there's evidence in the record that while her U.S. citizen born child, I believe is around 11 years old now, she may have to pay for education if she doesn't decide to, because she's a U.S. citizen, she wouldn't be able to get the benefits in China, but she could if she went with her Chinese citizenship, but they'd still be able to go to private school. And her other 2 children are adults now in their 20s and going to college. And she's almost 50 years old. So the likelihood that she would be required to have a sterilization, you know, it's highly unlikely. And nothing has happened to her husband.
Is that a finding the board made, the point about her age and how it interacts with the Chinese policy?
Not necessarily. I was not trying to do a Chenery violation here or anything, but I understand what you're saying, but I just wanted to put that out there. Because if you look in the record before the board, I don't have the site right now, she talks about at the time of her, she was pregnant with her third child, she was 37 years old, and how she, you know, absolutely didn't want to abort because it might be the last time she'd be able to have another child. So it seems like in this case, it would be highly unlikely that she.
I appreciate your involvement in the issue you're now talking about, but it seemed to me the essence of petitioner's appeal here is that the BIA ignored important evidence in support of the asylum application. That's why I asked him about it, and that's why I'm now turning to you.
Okay.
I mean, the petitioner says the BIA erred because it ignored the physical harm Gong suffered, ignored credible threats made against Gong, and failed to take into account the threats and harms to Gong's children. And he says that 2 and 3 times. where in the BIA decision can you see that what petitioner is arguing here is false?
Well, the board here, you know, in talking about after the birth of her son.
I mean, I want you to look right at what the board did and tell me, how did they take into account the physical harm Gong suffered?
I can tell you that. After the on page 2 of the board decision, AR4, the board talks about after the birth of her second child, she's forced to submit to birth control. Excuse me.
That's on page 2?
Right. And the board cites to the IJ at 3. And the IJ at 3 is exactly where the immigration judge, in summarizing the testimony and everything that happened in this case, talks about how she was tried to force her to sign a consent for abortion, and talks about how she refused the fingerprints.
Where do they...
AR-91, I'm referring. The board references the immigration judge's decision on page 3, which is AR-91.
I've got it.
And on that page, the second to last, or the last full paragraph, discusses the harm, all of the harm that happened to her.
But we're talking about specific harms. First, the physical harm Gong suffered, and I appreciate where he went. The next was the credible threats made against Gong. Where do they talk about those?
Well, the immigration judge.
We're not talking the immigration judge. We're talking the BIA decision here.
It cites to the transcript where she talks about what happened to her. I mean, all those transcript citations refer to everything that happened. The fines that she had, the IUD insertion,
Where does it discuss the threats to the children?
Where does it discuss the threats and harms to Gong's children was my next question.
Well, there wasn't threats to the children. I mean, her son, when her son was born, she
the
was
denial required. Of benefits, I think, is.
Right, and she conceded that she paid the fine, and then her son was able to have access to all the benefits. And she conceded that fine didn't rise to the level of persecution before the board.
Okay, I'm glad to have your answer.
Okay, and there's no further questions. I would ask the court to uphold the agency's determination that there's no past persecution and that the well-founded fear has been... There is no well-founded fear now that the population control policy has changed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rebuttal?
I just want to address the future persecution part. In this case, the BIA actually found there's no well-founded fear or persecution because that her fear of going back is objectively unreasonable. And for the BIA to reach that conclusion, the BIA relied exclusively on the channel country background information, the report. And the report supports respondents' claim that she would face, based on the record at the time, that she would face tube allegation, because she clearly testified that the family officials went to her house and to talk to her parents and trying to get her back to China for tube allegation. And also to achieve that goal, they did not allow her daughter to go to school. So, and also the country report, this page 223 of the administration record, it clearly says that the Chinese government is still relying on forced abortion to implement its now two-child policy. And in this case, Your Honor, that the petitioner has three children, so therefore clearly that she has at least, based on the country condition, that she her fear of going back to China and face the possibility, the 1 in 10 chance of possibility of tube allegation is objectively reasonable. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Lee, Ms. Watson, for your helpful arguments, and the case is submitted.
Thank you.